Welcome back to another episode of the Psyche Behind the Physique, listeners. It is great to have you back. And Alexa, it is great to have you back. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
As always, it's a highlight of my day.
You guys may know if you saw my YouTube video last weekend, I just got back from LA where I visited Alexa. And if you don't know Alexa, she is Empowered's lead assistant coach and someone that I've coached for years. Alexa and I are in completely different seasons right now. I'm deep into a cut. Alexa is in a build or more of a life
Yeah.
season. And while we were in, LA, I was cutting and eating very differently than her and, very focused on my steps and my workouts. At first, I kind of caught myself asking the question of, is this weird for her? Is this weird for me?
I remember you asked me that.
Yeah, like this is it just felt uncomfortable. And there was a moment when Alexa and I actually went to the spa together where I kind of reflected on my birthday, which not this recent past year, but the year before that, I had gone out to coffee to celebrate my birthday with a few of my girlfriends in Tampa. And I was with Allie V, who's going to the Olympia this year, and my friend Angie, and a couple of the other girls. And they were all in different seasons. And I remember Allie being in prep and ordering, like, a, I think it was like a coffee with almond milk and stevia on the side. And I was like, should I be ordering that? Like, should I, even though it was my birthday and I was not even tracking macros at the time, I was questioning my own decisions because of hers.
Yeah.
And I think it's normal to question yourself and your decisions and to feel that sort of subtle shame or doubt, even when you're doing something that's right for you, like ordering a sugary coffee on your birthday. So today I want to talk about how to stay present and proud in your own phase, especially when someone close to you is in a completely different one, whether it's a friend, a coach, a client, or a partner. How do you navigate the dynamics of shared space but different goals? So, Alexa, this first, kind of topic here is about how cutting, building, reversing, and maintaining, they all require different systems. When you're in a cut, you might be weighing out your food, limiting your sauces, saying no to things like late night drinks or snacks. And then you have a build, much like the season that you're in, where you're more focused on maybe not taking a rest day, maybe some softness, maybe spending more time with family.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess I could ask you, like, how did you feel on that trip? Did you feel at any time that you were like doubting your own plan because I was doing the opposite?
I mean, I don't necessarily think it was doubt that ever crept into my mind, but I think it was more like envious, like, oh my God, I wish I was this rigid at this point in my life. And I noticed a lot too is like I was reflecting back, or at least this has been occurring for the last like few months that pertains to this topic, is I've been like looking back at pictures saying, oh my God, a year ago at this time, I was in a prep. Like, should I still be doing that? And then I see shows happening every weekend and people posting their cardio every day. And I'm like, do I want, I do I want to do this? Like, it's kind of like a sense of like FOMO almost, you know? And I think I felt a little bit of that. But it was more so like, oh my God, I wish I could be doing this too. So me and Maddie could be ordering the same things or like getting the same coffees. Or maybe am I making her feel uncomfortable because I'm having a slice of cake and she's not? So I think it's that too. Like it's like kind of a cross between like empathetic for the person that like quote unquote has it harder, but also envious of, wow, she has it harder. Like she's doing her shit, and I'm not, you know?
Totally. And I think that sometimes, as I was talking to Chris about this while we were, because when we were together, he really struggled because for a while he wasn't eating meals with the guys at the station. Like he started going a little bit more animal-based, and he was like, that was really tough for me. It was really challenging to eat separate from all the guys, considering that's like our communal thing to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I talk to my clients a lot about separating, what belonging really means. And when I was able to kind of expand on that for him, he was able to see how conditioned we've got as a society, not to say it's wrong, but how conditioned we've got to simply just matching what other people eat and the decisions that they make. You know, I think that it's super common in our society, being social creatures, to want to belong and to not want to feel like an outsider.
Yeah, totally.
And to associate belonging with sharing things like food, but belonging doesn't always come from matching the other person or their behaviors, right? It comes from almost like a respect for that season.
Yeah.
Like, you know what it takes to be in a cut. And conversely, I'm fully aware of the challenges, not just the triumphs, but the challenges that come from being in a maintenance phase or in a surplus.
Yeah.
And so I think it's okay and it's healthy to simply just have respect for the season that the other person is in. And we're going to talk about, you know, boundaries and communication in this podcast. But for our listeners, I think thematically, a good like takeaway here is find a way to anchor yourself back into your own personal journey. That can kind of remove the FOMO or the envy from the situation at hand. For example, asking yourself, first, what season am I in? Right? When you find yourself thinking more about the other person's season, anchor yourself back into yours and get clarity on what season am I in? Okay, I'm in a cut. Got it. Okay, what does success look like for me then in this season? Does it look like having three cocktails? Does it look like ordering the espresso martini, or do I need to order a vodka soda? Does it look like eating the second piece of pita or just stopping at one? Right? What does that look like for me? And then what distracts me from it? What pulls me away from it so that I'm aware of the things that I could slip up and trip up on? And then anchor into that, right? Write it on a post-it note, make it a phone reminder. This is what your compass can be. Now, Alexa, as both your coach and your friend, I'm also very aware that's kind of just an interesting dynamic that we have. I'm hyper aware of the impact that even my presence might have when I'm around you, right? Like, if you're in a surplus, you're hitting PRs, you're ordering what you want, and I'm eating grilled chicken and asking for no oil, and I'm the one that's quote unquote on vacation, that might feel weird for you, right? So I think sometimes we can feel guilty for almost sticking to our plan. Like, there was moments where I had felt a little guilty for like sticking to my plan because I'm like, I'm on vacation and I'm here to celebrate her. How is she gonna feel about me being like, no, I'm gonna stay buttoned up? Is she going to take offense to that?
I mean,
And go ahead.
I also just think it's important to, like, when you get in that headspace, I think this goes for all of our listeners, is to recognize that most of the time the other person is also having some sort of similar feelings, but in a different way. Like, you might feel bad, but I'm also like feeling bad because you're the one that's, I mean, like, you chose to do it, but like, there's part of me that's like, oh my God, well, I wish she could have this too. But she's doing her own thing and that's okay. So I think it's also important to note that, like, okay, while you might feel a certain way about how someone else is, you don't necessarily need to feel bad because, number one, they chose it. And number two, they also probably have some similar feelings too.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that like the whole guilt can go both ways, right? Like, I can feel guilty for sticking to my plan. You know, you can feel guilty for, just like you said, for sticking to your plan and hurt me. Conversely, I can feel envious when you can order fries, right? And you can feel envious because I'm staying bridled and buttoned up, right? But I do think that it's healthy for us to, yet again, anchor into our own plan, explore questions such as, am I being true to my current goals, or am I trying to fit somebody else's vibe right here? You know, it's one of those things where hindsight is 2020. If I went ahead and I, out of guilt or even like the internal pressure that I was creating with this like sort of like dichotomy with self, decided to indulge or have the things that you were having, I probably wouldn't feel so great on the other side of of the trip.
Yeah.
And conversely, if you had kind of buttoned things up and maybe, dove back into the gym once I left, you might have felt super, super weak and not as strong. And it's ironic because coming out of that trip, you were going into a season where you were going to have to pull back on probably the frequency of your training because you're moving and all this stuff. And I was getting ready to head out on yet another vacation. So for me, it was really important to be anchored in. For you, it was really important to be maximizing your amount of time in the gym.
I think
So I think for, our listeners, it is so important that when you're going into these seasons and you're finding that maybe you are getting a little distracted, maybe you're getting a little bit pulled, if you will, into one direction or another, that you've also fully exhausted communicating not only to others, but communicating to yourself first. Not just the season you're in, not just the phase that you're in, but why it matters to you. I had a client a conversation with a client today who she's going on a vacation to a beach this weekend. And she said, I'm in a family that drinks from sunup to sundown. And she's reversing. She just started reversing and her macros are pretty low. And she's like, so she'd asked me a lot of questions. She's like, but you said that mom waters were okay to have, right? And you said that vodka soda was okay to have. And I came back and I just said, I do, yes, of drinks, those are probably the better ones for you to have right now. But I do want you to just explore, like, why does it matter to you that maybe you stay away from the alcohol? Like, answer that question for yourself, because all that I see you focusing on is what everybody else is doing. Well, I belong to a family that drinks from sunup to sundown. I know that alcohol is going to be okay, so what? Right? So what? And do you have to then also have all of those things, right? What phase are you in, and why is it important to you? Why does it matter to you that you stay in that phase?
Yeah, and it's really self-sabotaging creating that kind of pressure, especially when you're around people like your family who like should be the most understanding and probably are. Why like put pressure on yourself to say like, "Oh, I have to have drinks because my family does this and this is how it operates and this is how we do." And it's like, "Okay, yeah, but I think out of everyone, they'd probably be the most understanding and supportive if you said, "Hey, I'm just not gonna have a drink today," or something like that, you know?
Oh my gosh, and we're about to hop on this next topic here in a second, but romantic partners too.
Yeah.
Like people shy away from telling their spouses or from standing up to their spouses and kind of admitting what phase that they're in.
Yeah.
Listen, transparency is what builds safety. So communicating to your friends, your family, your partners, hey, I'm in a cut right now. Please don't feel weird if I order something. I might need something that's a little bit more plain. I'm good, I promise. It removes the, like you talked about earlier, that
I
like
feel bad.
empathy,
Yeah.
the empathy for them that they may feel towards you, and it removes the guilt that you may have for ordering something simply. And
Yeah.
then the second is consider how far words go. When you stop and ask somebody how their day's going, it's no different than celebrating someone in the phase that they're in. I fully recognize that building is hard. And sometimes it can help if you're in a cut and your friend is in a build or vice versa to simply just acknowledge the trials that they may be experiencing and celebrate one another in the phase that you're in, because it can elicit this feeling of mutuality and support.
Yeah, or like acknowledging the progress they've made too. And I think like another tip kind of to avoid all of that is to not be so obsessed with social media. I think it's a little bit different when you're like in a cut, but I think especially when you're in a build phase, it's not talked about as much on social media because, you know, being leaner gets more views and likes and whatever. And I think that's something to keep in mind because I know even I was literally feeling it today. I'm seeing people post for Universe and I'm like, oh God, I'm missing out. Like I want to be cutting. I should be cutting. Instead, I'm doing no cardio and barely making it to the gym because I have other life's priorities going on. But should I be doing this? And I feel bad that I'm not doing this. I want to do this. And it's setting yourself up for like negative self-talk. And I think it's important to be like, okay, maybe I should not check my social media. And like, I honestly haven't even been super active on my fitness account for the past week because I've had like so many life things. And I'm like, I can't even be involved in the whole like, I'm on prep, I'm 2 weeks out, or you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Eliminating those triggers and the things that, may sort of tempt you in one direction or another is really key. One of our very own athletes, she sent me a message on social media last night. And it was a post that the girl who had taken first place, she had gotten second at her show, but the girl that had taken first place had posted, had documented her reverse. And in my eyes, this athlete of mine, she's reversed darn near perfectly. I mean, she's hit really every box, but yet it still wasn't enough because she had compared herself to someone else's reverse. And, it speaks volumes. I said, why are you doing this? You know that I said, there's a lot of girls out there that are posting their reverses. And of all the girls, this is the one that bothers you. And it's not even bothering you because she's reversed, quote unquote, better. It's bothering you because she took first place and you took second. And so you're latching on to something, right? It's like keeping the if peanut butter is your trigger food, it's like keeping peanut butter in the cupboard. Like just don't like put yourself in positions where you're going to be jealous or envious. Now, Alexa, in perfect timing, we just talked a little bit about romantic relationships. Just moved in with your boyfriend.
I
Congratulations.
did. Thank you.
But I want to talk about romantic relationships in comparison because I have a probably a historical relationship here that I can reference with my college boyfriend Cody, who I felt almost very competitive with. It was kind of toxic. Like he would I remember me being like, "Hey, did you go to the gym today?" And like me having no time to go to the gym. And he would be like, "Yeah, like I did an hour long workout this morning." And before you know it, I was like finding any way to get in there and run. Now when I was in LA, I love Marco to death. Marco is Alexa's boyfriend, but it was interesting. Marco spoke about how he used to bring a food scale to restaurants.
Oh, still does.
Oh, still does,
Still
still does.
does. Yeah.
And Marco doesn't do this from a place of obsession. I don't think Marco's ever had an eating disorder.
No.
But he's trying to eat enough. He's in a gaining phase, and it's really difficult for Marco, as it is a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But Alexa, do you ever question, should I be doing that too?
Oh, all the time. I think I actually have to remind myself pretty regularly that we operate completely different. He brings a scale to a restaurant in order to fulfill his goals with food. Like, he literally has a hard time reaching his macronutrient and calorie goals, so he has to bring it in order for him to eat enough. However, I'm over there sitting like, oh my God, like, am I like being unhealthy, or am I being like fat by not weighing my food? And because he's doing it. But in my, I have to keep reminding myself, like, I don't have that, the problem he has. In fact, I'm usually the opposite. I have a very big appetite. I have to tell myself when to stop eating. So I think it's important when we go out that I give myself that space to, and that freedom to intuitively eat, or making sure I'm actually enjoying this meal, because typically I'm also weighing my food and being diligent. And I had a whole period of my life, what it was like almost a year of like being super rigid in prep, and Marco didn't have that experience. So now I'm like, okay, let me take a breather. And I think we're also in different stages of our like professional career. He's a little bit more ahead and settled than I am, and I'm just like starting. And in my mind, I'm like, honestly, I need this time to break away from like the shackles of a food scale, especially at restaurants. I weigh my food when I'm home, but to me, it's like going out to a restaurant or going out on a date is something special. And I know that like if we're going to a nice restaurant, like a steakhouse, and he's bringing a scale and weighing his food, I get those thoughts like, maybe I should just ask him to pass me the scales so I can plug it in my fitness pal,
Yeah.
also weigh my food. And then I have to remind myself, like, no, you purposely aren't doing this so that you can, number one, continue to build a healthy relationship with food and separate yourself from the scale 24/7. And
Yeah.
also, it's unnecessary because we're in different stages of our journey of fitness. He's trying to put as much size as he wants, and I am too, but to a certain degree. I'm not pushing food where, like, so far that I need to weigh every single gram and have like 500 carbs. Like, I'm not there, so I don't need.
Well, and you can also acknowledge, Alexa, that aside from having the goal of wanting to be a healthy, balanced, good relationship with food kind of gal, that you also have a history of disordered eating, much like I do, right? And we recognize our triggers and we can fall right back into that. Marco doesn't, right? And of course, it goes back to, again, kind of anchoring yourself into the season that you're in. You're in a season right now where, you're working in a career to also like build relationships with other people and meeting new people, and you're in different, and if you're going out to lunches and work lunches and you're weighing your food, that can kind of detract from that goal. So, I want to acknowledge a lot of what you're experiencing, that's just the inner competitor speaking. Even a supportive, balanced athlete can get pulled by the energy around them. That's not anything that's exclusive to you.
And I think Marco would honestly probably be in the same shoes as me if he is a competitor. I think
Yeah.
it's only different because he's not, because he hasn't had like that side of the extreme, and he hasn't had a history with disordered eating like I have. So it's
Right.
important for both of us that he does what is important to him and I do what's important to me. And we have to create that mutual respect, like you talked about earlier. And after I acknowledge that, I realize, okay, I don't need to weigh my food at the restaurant. He can do whatever he wants, but I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, for our listeners, maybe they don't experience the whole, extreme of the food scales, but I think what's even more common is, seeing that sometimes, you're the one that's dialed in and your partner's relaxed. And how quick are we to start skipping tracking, or maybe big one, slacking on our bedtime? Not because it aligns with the phase that you're in, but because it feels easier to match the energy of your partner. Not just about partners, but we match the energy of those around us anywhere, especially our families, our parents, and things like that. And so some questions just to bring ourselves back to our awareness and kind of ground ourselves is, am I matching my partner's energy, or am I matching the energy of my goals? That's a very quick sort of question that we can ask ourselves to bring ourselves back to whose energy are we vibing with, and does it feel aligned? Does the behavior, if you take inventory of your behaviors at a steakhouse or on a date, or at a weekend where you go visit your family's lake house, and you just assess your behaviors, how you slept, what you did at night before bed, how you woke up, what you prepared, how you prepared it, how you moved your body. Ask yourself, does the behaviors that you're exuding, do they bring you closer or further from the outcome that you want? And then communication, again, that's really key. Have you talked about how to support each other, yourself and your partner, when you're in different seasons? Because at the end of the day, support, much like a love language, is going to look different for everybody. So it can be helpful to communicate with your partner so they can explicitly tell you how they can support you. Create neutral shared rituals. If food is kind of a pain point for you guys, do something like creating a nightly routine that doesn't involve around eating. It's important to respect the season that your partner is in, but to also protect our own systems. And then talk about the why. Right now I'm cutting because I want X. You're building because you need Y. We're not in competition here, but we're building different strengths, and that's okay. Now, I also think too that regardless of how you support others, you can be supportive, but just because you're supporting, and we've talked a lot about that on this podcast, just because you're supporting someone else in their endeavors doesn't mean that you still don't feel triggered. I can say, Alexa, I fully support that you're in this off season and that you're eating intuitively and that you're eating all the things that you want. And we talked about it multiple times about how what an incredible thing it is right now that you're simply just maintaining a beautiful athletic physique, eating basically whatever the hell you want, and to still feel triggered, even though I support you. It doesn't make me a bad person, but it makes me human. And go ahead.
I was gonna say that is very important because I think it can, it's true. Because when we were together, I remember I was like so supportive. And because I'm like, oh my God, you're are training for a Hyrox, you're gonna be doing big things, and you've had a whole different shift in your fitness trajectory and all the things, which are great. And I honestly think that the way you're approaching it is super healthy, healthier than before, and probably the healthiest you've ever been. And I can be that friend that's like always there for you in every way, being like, yes, I'm so supportive. I'm the one who's like, maybe I'll do the Hyrox with you, you know? But at the same time, it can be a situation where I see that you didn't go for dessert, and I'm like, well, shit. Am I overeating? Am I gonna cause bad habits by eating dessert? Should I not eat dessert? Shoot, like I'm jealous that she can just sit there and enjoy not eating dessert. And I feel like I want to and I have to. And you know, it's kind of like it sucks, but it does make us human. And it's true that you, as much as you can acknowledge that you support someone, there's always also gonna be that sort of sense or could be triggering. It can always happen.
100%. I think what you're alluding to and referencing here, it's basically internalizing someone else's discipline as our own insufficiency. That's what you were feeling. You had felt like maybe you needed to button things up and not go for that second bite of cake because I wasn't even having one. Now, conversely, I looked at you, I saw you being more relaxed, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, maybe for this one night, I should just loosen up too. But the reality is, I think, and for our listeners, like it's not like your subconscious brain is like shouting these things at you. It's very much whispers. Like it's like this moment of like the thoughts just kind of creep in and you really have to pay attention to them. And as you explore these thoughts, questions that you can ask yourself to recognize comparison in real time as it's happening, things like, am I observing or am I comparing? Am I just witnessing what's happening in front of me? I think that's one of the healthiest things to do is simply just observe. Don't explore it, don't compare. Ask yourself, am I acting from integrity? Or am I acting from insecurity right now? There's a lot of times where we will reach for a second fry on a date or a second potato chip or chips with salsa. I used to do that all the time. I don't even like eating chips and salsa on dates, but I would do it because I'd be afraid that if I didn't, that the person that I was on a date with would be like,
Think you're weird.
yeah, like you're not, do you not like chips and salsa? Who doesn't? But I never liked eating it. So ask yourself, am I acting from integrity or just insecurity in this moment? And then would I make this same choice if I were alone, right? If I wasn't with this person, and it's not that the person is the root of all evil, but would I make the same choice? And then in that moment, just reframe it. Instead of I wish that I could eat that too, try just telling yourself that looks great for her right now. I'm proud of the discipline I'm showing and it's serving me.
Yeah, because social settings kind of open us up to this impulsive behavior most of the time. Like you can be buttoned up when you're closed off and you're alone, but maybe you have a hard time with other people, and not because the food smells so good or anything. It's because the people around you see them having a good time and they're eating fries and chips and salsa, and you're like, shoot, well, I should do that too. Like, let me avoid these questions, these uncomfortable questions I don't want to be asked. But I think it's also important to have that integrity that if they do ask you, you could be like, yeah, I'm in a cut right now. Like, I don't need
Again,
it.
it all starts though with that assessment of what phase am I in and why does this phase matter? If you can answer why it matters, you will be able to articulate and elicit the support of others.
The internal questions are the most important part to like constantly
Absolutely.
instill your why, or make grounding you in what season you're in.
So as we start to kind of wrap up this podcast, I have jotted down, and Alexa, feel free to expand on this or add to these, but I've jotted these down as actual homework pieces for my clients over the years. But this is something that I want to share for our listeners that are, I would say, my top five kind of go-to tools and practices. Which is number one, a weekly reflection check-in. Just assessing for yourself what's working, what's challenging me, what's my progress, and this can help to, like we talked about, keep you rooted in your vision for yourself, so that you don't get sort of swayed in one direction or another. Number two is when you're traveling, and for our listeners, like I documented basically our entire trip to look at, but set your environment up for success. Bring your own staples. Like I brought a few protein bars with me. We chopped those up and we added them to our Greek yogurt last night. Choose restaurants where you can stick to your plan. There was a time where Alexa and I had gone to Erewhon for a lunch, and I was able to get some turkey and some berries as a lunch for myself. And when I was coming in, I stopped at, what was that Mexican place? It was so nice. Chuckie's.
Sharkies.
Sharkies. Oh my gosh. Sharkies is so good. If you're ever on the West Coast, go to
So good.
Sharkies. But do they have them in Texas or no?
I don't think so. I should check.
Oh my
I'd
gosh.
be disappointed if there's not.
No, Texas has a slew of good restaurants, but find restaurants that help you to stay on track. And then don't apologize for prioritizing your face. All
Yeah.
right. Number three is communicate proactively with the people in your life. Okay, it's okay to say this season is really important to me. Can you help me stay on track? I need to go to a grocery store.
Oh, I tell Marco that all the time. I'm like, can you please make sure I'm like not gonna go do cardio today because I don't have to. Like,
Communicate and ask.
yeah.
Ask for that support. Most people, just like Alexis spoke about earlier in this podcast, they want to support you, but they don't know how unless you tell them.
Yeah.
And then create a why anchor phase. This is something that you can return to when temptation or doubt creeps in. So an example is, I'm eating this because it supports the physique I'm carving, or this rest day is rebuilding for my next PR. These are your anchoring phases that you can repeat to yourself in those moments where you have a little bit of weakness. And then last, certainly not least here, is stop romanticizing someone else's season.
My God, this goes off the social media thing, I swear.
Exactly, because social media is a highlight reel, right? Everything
Yeah.
looks so great. We're so quick to forget that these girls are doing 90 minutes of cardio. They are taking PEDs, their hair is falling out. Like it's not all a highlight. It's not all like a highlight reel behind the scenes,
Yeah.
just on social media.
There was actually something I saw. I don't know if this is relevant to talk about, but I feel like it is. There was this girl, this YouTuber, she like competes and she was posting like vlogs of her prep and everything. And I was watching it and I'm like, I was getting envious. But then I was watching part of her video and she had said that her coach had her fasting for 24 hours, which number one, I disagree with.
Yeah.
But number two, why are we collectively romanticizing that she looks, I mean, she looks great, but like we don't
Yeah.
need to be envious of that exact look. And I think that's also something important where if you are in a certain phase in your fitness journey, write out the long goal. Like personally for me, I want to add a couple pounds of muscle. I have to keep reminding myself what it takes. It's not taking 30 minutes of cardio per day. It's not taking under eating in order to reach that goal. So write out your long-term goal in the season you're in. If you're cutting, you want to reach X pounds or you want to reach X body fat or you want to do this and this and this. Write it out so that you can stick to it and you can reflect back and be like, okay, that is what I'm working towards. I'm going to remind myself that this is what I want and that will help you stay in your lane and you don't have to be envious of someone else's season or where they're at.
The anchor. I mean, that is really what's key in going inward. I think a build sounds fun until your digestion's off, right? And because you're
Right.
eating so much food. A cut looks cool until you're tired or you're skipping social events. Like every season has a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in the highlight reel, but we learn this in like general psychology 101 as kids, is like every decision has an opportunity cost, and like
Yeah.
we don't talk enough about the opportunity cost. So listeners, whether you're the one ordering grilled chicken for, for dinner, or you're skipping out on dessert, maybe you're ordering the cake, right? Maybe you're on the opposite side of the spectrum. I want to remind you that different paths can still run side by side. So this week, homework for you is to reflect on your current phase and choose one action that supports it and do it, regardless of what those around you are doing. In fact, an added layer to this would be to do something that's a little bit more challenging, right? If you're going to an event where conventionally you always drink and everybody else around you is drinking, commit to only having one. And really commit to that and ask yourself, why is it important to me to follow through with this given the phase that I'm in? So here's what I want to leave you with. It is okay if your goals make you stand out. It is okay to say no when others say yes, or to say yes when others are still in their no phase. You don't need to match the season of the people around you to be deeply connected with them, but you just need to respect your own. Staying in your lane is not about rigidity. It's about choosing alignment over approval. It's about having compassion for where you are and clarity about where you're going. So whether you're saying yes to, like I said, those extra carbs or the dessert, maybe instead you're showing up early to a lift, maybe you're skipping the gym just to rest, trust the season that you're in. And then as your homework, ask yourself, what's one choice that I can make this week that's true to my phase, even if no one around me is doing it? And then make that choice with confidence, not apology. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. If you want to see more of what Alexa and I were up to in LA, including how we made two totally different phases work in the same space, head over to my YouTube channel, Mads Michi Fitness, to check it out. If this episode resonated with you, please rate and subscribe. It helps us to reach more women walking the same tightrope of goals, growth, and grace. And if you're ready for more personalized support, one-on-one coaching with Alexa or me might be exactly what you need. So apply using the link in the show notes and we will set up to chat. Have an amazing week and remember, be kind to one another and don't forget to include yourself in the mix.
Bye, guys.
Bye.